ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
When Ananias came to Peter, he told Peter, look, this is all the money I got from the property. I'm giving it to you for the church. You know, take care of it. Give it to people who are in need. And it wasn't true. He kept back some of the money for himself. In Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 6, it said that Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And if it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. I bet there was a lot of fear. The guy just drops dead. He lied to the Holy Spirit. What was the sin that cost Ananias his life? He lied to God. It's not that he didn't give all the money to Peter. He didn't have to give any of the money to Peter. It's that he lied about it. And remember, the church was just getting started, and already this was going on in the church. Read some of the letters that were written, and you see how quickly sin tried to infect the church. And so God was trying to deal with that. Well, then his wife Sapphira comes looking for him. You know, where is he? You know, is he at, you know, Fleet Farm or something? What's taking him so long getting back? And she comes before Peter, and she lies too. And Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard these things. Yeah, I'm sure it did. And I'm sure these guys that came back and, you know, found Sapphira there and had to bring her, probably said to Peter, is there anyone else before we go? Because we don't want to keep coming back and forth. Is this the last one? But here's the thing. God takes sin seriously. And we should also. Sin is harmful to us. And sinful is harmful to others, as we have said. We've seen it. Probably in our own lives, our own families, with our own friends. Sin is harmful to others. And I'll tell you, sin is a catalyst for more sin. Once you start going down that path, it could start out real simple. But boy, like a snowball rolling down a hill, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's hard to stop. It's free fall. And there's a lot of other things. You know, Bible study probably becomes unfruitful. It robs us of joy. It robs us of our peace. There's a loss of confidence in our prayers, as there probably should be. We become fearful. We lose our excitement even of the Lord's return, right? We don't care. We're just enjoying ourselves. Thing is, guys, don't think you can handle sin. You can't. Don't think you're smarter than Satan is. I guess because we see some of these televangelists on TV and they're just screaming at the devil and mocking him and putting him down. Do you realize you're nothing before Satan? You can't fight against him except in Christ. Remember what Jude said. Michael the archangel didn't bring a riling accusation against Satan. What did he do? He said, the Lord rebuke you. That's what we need to stand upon, guys, when we're fighting against sin. Satan is bringing sin into our lives. He's dangling these things in front of us. And we could say, no, the Lord rebuke you. I'm not going down that path. I am not following you. I am not listening to you. I am not lying, cheating. I want to get my heart right. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be hateful. I don't want to be unforgiving. Help me, Lord, to live a life that would honor you and not to go down these paths, because I could justify my unforgiveness. I could justify my hatred. I could justify all these things that I'm doing, except before you, because you don't buy it. if God could forgive me, why can't I forgive someone? That's a hard one. But I'll tell you, you start letting sin get into your life, it will drag you down. There's a story of a guy who was standing on the edge of Niagara Falls. It was a cold March day, and it was a beautiful day, but there were birds, you know, obviously swooping down and getting a drink from the clear water. And it was interesting. Some of these birds were being carried over the falls. How did that happen? Well, when they dipped down for a drink, tiny droplets of ice would form on their wings. And it would get heavier and heavier until they couldn't fly. And they were stuck in the water. And the water just took them away. And isn't that sin? I mean, this world keeps putting more and more and more upon us. And we keep grabbing for it. All of a sudden, we're caught in the stream of this world. We're not moving upstream. We're moving down. We're floating away. Repentance here, guys, is the key. None of us are perfect. And that's kind of why one of the things I'm blessed about in this church is we're very honest with each other. None of us put on a facade. Hey, how you doing? I'm perfect. I was just walking on water the other day. It was really cool. There's not one person in here who doesn't go through tough times. None of us. And being honest, you can encourage others. You can get help when you need help. Repentance is constructive. And again, here in Joshua 7, look at verse 19. So Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. We're going to stop there. How long did it take him to confess until he was exposed? You know, it was kind of like David with his sin with Bathsheba, like I said. And I don't think he was truly sorry. I don't think he truly repented, I guess I should say. He was sorry he got caught. Paul in 2 Corinthians 7, verses 9 through 10 said, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance, for you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. I think that was Achan, the sorrow of the world. It was me. I'm sorry I got caught. No, that doesn't help. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. You will never be blessed if you cover your sin, and you can't hide your sin from God. And you will feel the effects of doing that in your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually speaking, like David did. A whole year, he was like that. And what's interesting, this is a man after God's own heart, King David. And for a whole year, he was miserable. And it never dawned on him, you know, maybe it's that thing I did with Bathsheba. You know, come on, it's kind of like a big glaring light. Of course it is. But he didn't think that. But then, in Psalm 32, verses 3 through 5, when I kept silent, David said, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Do you realize David committed a sin that he should have been put to death for? In fact, two. Adultery and murder. The murder of Uriah. He sent the death sentence for Uriah. And yet, we see God forgive. Because I think David truly did repent. Were there consequences? Yes, there were. His child died short time after it was born. That child's with the Lord. The child didn't miss out on anything. But David and Bathsheba did. The consequences. For those who are lost, those that don't know Christ, when they come to Christ, when they repent of their sin and ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of their lives, there's regeneration. You enter the family of God. Paul said this in Titus 3:5, that we're not saved by our good works, but faith in Christ when we repent of our sin. He said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so thankful that there is restoration for the wayward. Psalm 51:12 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." Sin had separated David from God, and repentance of his sin restored that relationship with God. And I've seen it in people's lives. I've seen where they've gone so far away, and all of a sudden, they return. They repent and return to God. And there's just that restoration. Because God is in the business of restoration, not destruction. There's also refreshment for the weary. Because let's face it, man, you start going down that path, it just weighs heavy on you. Remember when the Lord told Peter, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times." Peter's like, "Are you kidding me?" I'm paraphrasing, of course. "There's no way I'm going to deny you. These guys, these other guys, they might deny you, but I'm Peter, the rock, okay?" You know, why argue with the Lord? Don't you think he knows, you know? And I like what the Lord says in Luke 22:32, because the Lord doesn't go, "Peter, just take a hike, man. I'm done with you, man." He says, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Wow. Amen to that. Exactly. That's our Lord. He doesn't give up on us. The work that he's begun in us, he will complete. I am so thankful for that. Look at Peter. I mean, he blew it. Remember when Jesus says, "You know, who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Oh, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God," right? Jesus said, "Oh, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven." That's me, Peter. Not to you guys, the other 11 that are here, the 11 apostles. He revealed it to me. And then what did the Lord do? "Yep, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. The religious leaders are going to take me. They're going to kill me. 3 days, I'm going to rise from the grave." "Not so, Lord. That's not my plan. This is all worked out, man. I have a schedule here, okay? That's not what we're going to do." Get the memo. Yeah, exactly. And what does Jesus say? "Get behind me, Satan." I'm sure the other guys are going. That's how fast we can fall. We can let pride get in our lives and think we know better. He knows best. And we need to be sensitive to him. I love the fact that the Lord prays for us when we blow it, when we sin, that he cares that much for us. And it brings refreshment to our lives. Also, recovery from Satan's snare. 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26. "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. And if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." Isn't that interesting? The snare of the devil. It's easy to fall prey to his schemings, but we don't have to. And we could recover if we do. When we repent of our sin, it releases us from Satan's hold in our life. Jesus said in John 8:36, "If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." I don't want to be in bondage. I mean, who wants to be in bondage to anything? I don't. Years ago, I was trying to lose a little weight, and my wife, she's very sweet. She buys me, ice cream and cookies and, you know, chips and all kinds. And I love them. And if they're in the house, I will eat them because they're in the house. I love them. And I finally had to tell her, "Look, honey, as much as I'm so thankful you do that, don't buy them because I don't have any willpower. I love ice cream. And I could put some nuts on them and make them really healthy, but that really doesn't help a lot." And so remove those things that are hindering you. Those things that are taking you captive or putting you into bondage. Now, again, the food stuff is not a big deal, but you get the point. Remove those things. If something has really got a grip on your life, remove it. Because we can be released from Satan's hold in our life because the Son makes us free. Jesus makes us free. Repenting. One person put it like this. He said, "Many understand the term repentance to mean a turning from sin, regretting sin and turning from its related to repentance. But it's not the precise meaning of the word. In the Bible, the word repent means to change one's mind. The Bible also tells us that true repentance will result in our change of actions. In summarizing his ministry, Paul declares, "I preach that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds." The full biblical definition of repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of action. How true that is. I mean, think about it. If we say that I've repented and my life is, I'm still doing the same things, I haven't really repented. Is there a change in my life? And I'll tell you, you know, if you're struggling with drugs, alcohol, with anything, talk with someone. If you have friends that are involved in these activities, stay away from them because they're not your friends. They're dragging you down. They're hurting you. If they're your friend, they wouldn't be getting you involved in that. And I've seen it too often with people who have been set free from drugs or alcohol or whatever. And then they start hanging around their friends again that are involved in it still. And you know what happens? They're right back into it. Don't let the enemy destroy your life. I've been a Christian for 35 plus years, and I am amazed at what God can do. Is my life easy? Do I not have problems? Of course not. Life is hard. It's tough. There's a battle every day. But I'm not fighting it in my power or my strength. I'm fighting it by the power of God. I'm allowing him to work in me and through me. And the lessons he's teaching me helps me to grow and mature in the faith. How important that is. Repentance is a change of mind. I'm not going to do that anymore. And then a change in action. You don't do it anymore. As we look at Achan, as we look at our own lives, we need to understand we have choices to make, guys. God has given us a free will to obey or disobey him. And that's something that people don't understand, you know. Why is there so much evil in the world? Why can't God do something about it? Well, there's evil in the world is because man has a free will. Man has a choice in the things he does. This weekend when we were at the men's retreat, I received a Facebook post from my brother's son. And it wasn't directed to me, but it was directed in a sense to me. But it was a whole about this whole abortion issue and some of the laws that have been passed in regards to we are not allowing abortion in our state. And he basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, that he will fight with all his strength, money, resources, so that will never happen. Because we do not want the Christian values in our lives. And it broke my heart. And I have to admit, the flesh was there and I was ready to send the post, but I didn't. The Lord has really helped me in that because I want him to come to saving faith. But I thought, that is so sad. I look at our nation today and I look at the immorality that is flaunted in the face of God. And I tell you, if I was God, this world would be done. It probably would have been done a long time ago. So you guys are like, praise the Lord, you're not. Yeah. God is so gracious and merciful. But I'll tell you what, judgment is coming. Just like in the days of Noah. And we need to be careful in our own lives because Satan can't take away our salvation. But he can destroy our witness. Don't let that light go out. You know, in the men's study, we're looking at the letter that Jesus wrote to the church in Ephesus. And they were busy people. They were standing up against false doctrine coming into the church. They were working. And Jesus said, I have this against you. You left your first love. They forgot about Jesus. Never forget about him. Never get involved in anything apart from him. You can't tell Jesus, hey, you know what? Stay home tonight. I'm going out. They left their first love. They didn't lose them. They left them. They walked away. And Jesus says, you need to repent, return, and do those things you did when you first got saved. And maybe that's for us, you know, because if we're getting involved in sin, we've left our first love. You know why? Because that conviction is going to be too much. So I'm not going to go to Bible stuff. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to hang around my Christian friends because they make me feel uncomfortable. Well, of course they do, because you're in sin. So repent, return to him, and do those things that you did before, when you first got saved, when you were in love with the Lord. How important that is. Making the right choices is not going to always be easy. It'll be a challenge. And that challenge, I'm not trying to discourage you, I'm just trying to be a realist. In our nation, when you stand up for the things of God, it's going to get harder and harder to do. You better know what you believe, and you better take a stand. You need to earnestly contend for the faith that's been entrusted to you. It's a battle. So don't let sin rob you of that opportunity to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. There are consequences to sin. Sin is short-lived. And I'll tell you, it's pretty simple. Sin is always evil. Always, it's not sin. The pleasure of it's always passing away. And the seeming good of it is deceptive and it's fleeting. So we have choices. Holiness. Am I going to obey God's word? Am I going to do the things that God wants? Or carnality. Am I going to do what I want? And that's pretty much what we see in our world today. Is it's all about me. And it's coming to the church. And it's, I said it before, it's not never about us. It's always about the Lord. Well, what about me? Oh, he takes care of me. He does. I don't have to worry about me. He takes care of it. Every juncture in our life, we will either fulfill the will of God and, boy, just be guided by the Holy Spirit, or we're going to fulfill our own desires, our own lusts, and quench the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a choice. And if we understand that in everything that the Lord does for us is good, he has our best interest in heart, why do you want to follow anyone else? I'm not saying it's easy again. It's not. But I'm saying it's the best thing for our lives. When they tell you to lie at work or to deceive someone, what are you going to do? What if your job's on the line if you don't? I know someone who was, in a sense, threatened that way. This person took a stand and did what was right, and God honored that and blessed it. Let's face it, it's a challenge when your job's on the line. Well, where am I going to get paid now? How am I going to pay for my bills, my house, take care of my family? Honor God and do what's right, because once you open that door to sin, it's hard to close it. That's what the Lord said to Cain. Cain was upset. His brother's sacrifice was accepted. His wasn't. He was mad. And God said to Cain, sin lies at your door, and it wants to destroy your life. Don't open the door. What did he do? He opened the door and look what happened. Don't open the door to sin, guys. And when you do, repent, get right, and return. Do those first things you did with the Lord. Spend that time with him. Because sin will find us out. And I love what David said in Psalm 16:11. As we follow the Lord, he said, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I wonder if sometimes we as Christians don't know where we're going because we're not following the Lord. We're not listening to him. We're just doing our own thing. I wonder why we've lost that joy. Well, because maybe we're not taking the time to be in his presence. Well, how do I do that? Be in his word. Pray. Talk to him. Prayer is just talking to God. He says, at your right hand are pleasures. How long? Forevermore. Sin is short-lived, but the pleasures of God are forever. I love that. And may we never forget it. May we hold on to those truths. May we understand that Satan wants to destroy our lives. God wants to restore our lives. He wants to bless us. But isn't it interesting who we listen to? Be careful. Be wise. Be in God's word, let God speak to you, and follow him all the days of your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's a heavy lesson, Lord, dealing with sin and the consequences of sin in our lives. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, if there's any here this morning that are struggling, big time with this, that, Lord, you just comfort their heart that they would return to you, repent and return, and just receive that forgiveness and that restoration that you have for them. And for all of us, Lord, because we all struggle with this issue probably every day because we're confronted with sin every single day in our lives. Help us to keep our eyes upon you, to flee from sin and just follow you. Help us, Lord. Help us to be a light to shine in this dark world that people will see Jesus. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joel and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.